I think he has her beat.
Really?
Yeah, because like she makes it known she like hates her family, but she doesn't like try to like undermine her family. Like Tywin's at the point now where he's like, I can't even trust y'all to make y'all's own decisions. I'm just running everything here. Like y'all ain't even gotta have a brain anymore. Like Tywin is so fed up.
Okay. Yeah.
He is so fed up.
You're right. Welcome back to Charge It to the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Lovegood, Luna's favorite cousin, Dennis Allen's ride to the unemployment office. And I'm joined by my co-hosts, Gingy, my love, and TJ. If you've got a back, he'll put a battery in it. How are you guys?
All right.
Keep them powered.
This week, we're discussing Game of Thrones season 3 episode 7, The Bear and the Maiden Fair, an air date of May 12th 2013, written by Michelle McLaren, directed by George R. R. Martin, and had a rating of 4.84 million. I got that backwards. It was actually written by George R. R. Martin. He does not make his directorial debut. Don't worry, nobody missed anything. But yes, it is a dip from last week. And Jinch said,
yeah, I was gonna say it was like 5 mil plus.
Yeah. 5.5. So yeah. I'll ask my question about this to you, Jinch, at the very end. But real quick, last week's Pour One Out segment, we did forget the woman we had like an entire like 3-minute conversation about, Roz. We're so sorry, girl.
We did you dirty, Roz. You are now in a Sir Hugh category and you shouldn't be there. I apologize.
Absolutely not. We gave you your flowers while you were here, though. Well, before we get into this episode, I also want to thank Brand's Biggest Hater for rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. This is really starting to play into my praise kink. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you.
Can we read it?
Or
should I just read it? Should I just read it one off?
You can read that one if you want. You hadn't seen it?
No, I hadn't seen it.
Oh, good. Surprise.
This is a surprise. So Brand's Biggest Hater says, okay, but this week's episode was fire. I love the different point of views, and I like how you all put something different for the conversation rather than just agreeing on everything. I found myself actually laughing out loud while listening. Highly recommend. Shouts to you, man.
Thank you, because I'm going to be honest. Anytime we get a good review, I'm like, is this TJ?
No, it ain't me. You can't rate but once on Apple, and I don't have Spotify, so.
But yeah, thank you for listening.
I can't pump the numbers.
We appreciate it. We appreciate it. We are, it turns out, not piping in our own crowd noise. So, are you guys ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Well.
Wait a minute. Was that a dig at me?
What?
Was that a dig at me? Piping in our own crowd noise.
Well, it almost wasn't. But, you know, hit dogs. I don't know. Perhaps hit falcon squawk.
Anyway. Other teams did it too.
Listen, other teams had bounties, but who's known for having bounties? I mean, anyways, hey, Dennis Allen. We need a producer if you're looking for a job. All right.
We do.
Let's start south of the wall, where Oral is officially now the biggest hater in all of the Seven Kingdoms.
Oh, he is.
Imagine. Like, First of all, the scene with Ygritte and John. Do you know how, like, when you're watching football and your girlfriend's like, can I watch with you? And then you have to explain everything to her? Very
yes.
cute. Very adorable. I love them. But then, of course, Oral takes the time to, like, fully hate.
Yeah, he does. Oral, you know what Oral is? He's the dad that doesn't want his daughter to date black guys. But in this case, he makes it known that he's openly racist. That's him. That's Oral.
I'll give it to you. Yeah.
Which, with a name like Oral, like, kind of fits.
I mean, if that was my name, if that was my name, I probably would hate on other people too.
Same.
Because, like, why did your parents give you a regular name?
Easy. You just got to be good at it if that's your name. Just live up to it.
We are definitely saying his name wrong. It's Orel.
Nah, it's fine.
Some of us are country. Sorry. Anyways, later on the camp, Tormund does spit some game. And I hope the gentlemen were taking notes. Here comes Oral, by the way. Dirty Macking.
Oh, for sure.
Like, is this what Dirty Macking is? That's the children.
This is indeed Dirty Macking. Like, not only do you know she's into somebody else, but you're gonna just say, if you are my girl, I buy you everything. I treat you right, never leave your side.
And he started it. But the two things she really likes about John are that he's quiet and he's fine, which are two things Orel is not.
You're right. And he's weird. Like, he can look through the eyes of a fucking hawk. Like, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool on the exterior, but no girl wants that.
Why not?
Not from him.
It's like, guys who play video games, like, who the fuck does that shit?
Not me.
Like, you're in your 30s now. Like, what are you doing?
I don't spend 16 hours a day playing video games.
No.
Men used to hunt saber-toothed tigers.
I still do. What do you mean?
Exactly. I get my food by hand.
Like, I made this arrowhead on the spear.
Dragon glass.
Well, speaking of arrowheads on spears, we're going to be talking about that later.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
In a negative way or a positive way? In a negative way. I figured. Every time you want to talk about something. Nah, he is 100% a Dirty Mac, though.
Okay, yeah.
Like, he's Drake. Like, he really is Drake. Like, he's trying to take another man's girl. Like, he's hating. He hit John with the stare down that Drake did to DeMar DeRozan. Like, we know you ain't going to do nothing. You're on the sidelines. Like, why are you staring this man down?
Oral has also figured out that Ygritte is in love with John, which we also know. But, like, what are you going to do when you figure out who he really is?
Which, is he making a good point?
Yes.
Because my boy John seemed very unsure about things earlier. So,
yeah.
He seemed very unsure. Like, he's telling them they're fighting a losing battle 6 times. This has been tried.
6 times.
And 6 times you've lost.
Jeepers creeper.
And you're all going to die.
You all
are going to die.
And she says, she corrects that shit quick. Nah, homie. Not you. Us.
Us. We.
Ooh, buddy. Yeah. But do you think it's going to be all of them? Is this an all of us situation? Like, do you think John is going to march into Castle Black with them?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, when he gets in there, he's probably not going to do the fighting.
All right. Hey. Things.
He might have to look Sam out of eye.
Both of them with their wildling women.
Yep.
Couldn't get girls south of the wall. Losers.
Before we move on, I think it's cool to point out Ygritte's view of a windmill. She's never seen a windmill before.
I love it. It's a beautiful palace. Is that
and John has to tell her, like, no, that's just a windmill. But Winterfell.
Yeah. Wait till I get back to my parents.
That has tall things on it that kids fall out of.
Ooh. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Just a touch. Because first, let's go to the Riverlands. Where, oh look, a storm. I wonder what this means. So, Ginge, how are we feeling about how are we feeling about Rob? Like on a level of, we'll give it a like a 1 to 5. How's our anxiety about what's going on with Rob?
Let's go with a 4.
Wow. Wow.
It's on up there.
I just don't buy it. I don't even think Rob knows what the hell he's doing.
These people are, like, first of all, him and Talisa are acting like there's nobody else in the room. And while I adore some headassery, cut it the fuck out. Like, are you serious? Like, we're trying to, like, plan this wedding that we have to have because of this, and you're like, yeah, like, let's make out right here.
When it really should be you the one getting married. We should be planning your wedding, buddy.
Bingo. I should have.
Walter wanted the king.
Yes, I, Edmure, I should have the hot foreign wife. It should be me.
But yeah. Rob is something else.
Yeah. And Catelyn looks a little worried after he dismisses everyone.
As she should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she's been worried the whole time. Like, she knows that Walter Frazes ain't somebody to be, like, fucked around with.
Yes, she does. She does know that. And it seems like the other men around her know that, but they're not really taking it to heart. And then there's Rob, who's just doesn't give a shit at all.
These He's king men, of the North.
These men outside this tent, they're at war. You're the king, though. Like, you're just in here, like, fucking and in love. Now, how is that fair?
That's what kings do.
Yeah, that's what Rob was doing. He's fucking everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah. Robert, I should say, not to get him confused.
Bobby.
Yeah, Bobby.
Getting drunk and having sex with whores.
Right. And where is Bobby right now?
In the ground.
Killed by a boar, question mark?
Mm. Oh, he was definitely killed by a boar.
No, he was killed by a Lannister, but it's fine. Semantics.
But the point is, he is in the Sept of Baelor. Rot.
Indeed.
Rotting. So, yeah.
It is sweet, though, that Rob's going to go to Valantis
to meet his mother-in-law. It is adorable. And they're having a baby. They're having a baby.
He stuck it
Rob's
in.
Excited.
Look, man. That man stuck it in one time, fell in love, and got her pregnant. Like, all at one time.
That's how it happened.
18
that's,
years.
That's virgin material.
18 years.
I don't know, Jen. What did you think of that letter? You think she's really writing to her mother?
I do not.
Who do you think she's writing to?
I don't know yet, but I don't think it's her mom.
Okay. Do you think perhaps she was telling the truth the last time we got, like, we caught her writing a letter?
I mean, last time she did say she was writing into the Lannisters, so maybe. Maybe.
Dun, dun, dun. Things to look out for. We can go to King's Landing now, where this counts as Sansa and Tyrion's bachelor and bachelorette parties.
And she's still crying. Are these tears of joy yet?
No, Jesus.
Whiny Sansa is the worst.
Listen, she's not whiny. Do you look at me?
I won't go do it, James.
Look, I understand it. I just hate it, man. I just hate it.
I love this scene. I love this scene with her and Margie. It's full of so much, like, especially since I watched it yesterday. And it's full of just so much, like, feminist energy and, like, so much that still rings true. I love it. And at the very end, you get to see Margie in real time figure out that Sansa truly is just this incredibly naive.
She really is.
Also true.
Yes.
I even put that. Why is she so naive?
She is incredibly naive.
Yep. Still in her own, like, little bubble, doesn't realize what's going on the outside of it.
Yeah, she's a child. But, like, she's also, like, 15, and she's about to be married for the rest of her life. This cannot be undone, and I do not know this man, and I have basically been given to him by somebody who now owns me because my dad is dead, and there's no one around to protect me.
At least it's Tyrion, though. He's the best Lannister.
He is the best Lannister, but he's still a Lannister. Lannisters killed my dad.
I mean, yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. But anyways, I love Marge. I love you, Sansa. They can never make me hate you. They might try, but they won't succeed. Anyway, Tyrion, by the way, has never been with anybody this young. Congratulations to you, I guess, for not being a creep. But, I mean, Bronn makes some good points. She's pretty and she's rich. What else could an old man want?
Tyrion's got his own problems in terms of women. So.
Oh, Shay. Yeah. Yes, Tyrion does have his own problems, but he went to Jared.
Who says that?
Golden chains. Oh, thank you so much. Gee, no symbolism in these whatsoever.
Y'all remember that ring that Kobe bought his wife after the whole Colorado thing?
Ooh, that ring. Yeah.
Yeah, this reminds me of that.
Yeah. Yeah, Shay gives off very, like, I'll kill you, me, and her vibes. Like,
very much so.
I'll kill everybody involved. And it seems to always be, like, a broke whore wanting to, like, move away from the comfort of my wealth. Like, I'm comfortable here where I'm rich. No, I do not want to go to the other side of the world and sell oranges with you.
Yeah, this is a good life.
Yeah, this is fine for me. Like, can't you just get into it?
I think if he really loved her, he would have gone.
Okay, James. What? Point.
Yep. Think so.
If he really loved her, she'd be worth the risk of leaving everything behind and going to spend the rest of his life with her.
He'd get caught so fucking fast. They wouldn't even make it out of the damn castle before Tywin knows the shit and is killing them.
Nah. Nah.
But to be fair, though, like, for Tyrion, like, he wouldn't be able to do that because Tywin wants a reason to have him dead anyway, it seems. It'd be an easy reason to kill him.
It would. It really would. And he has the reach to do it.
Yep.
It's not like if Rhaenyra ran away with Kristen.
Nah, because Tywin's about to have his hands full. He's going to have Rob showing up with all the Frey's people. and then he's going to have Khaleesi coming across the sea. Like,
I like your foresight here.
As speaking of Khaleesi coming across the sea, as Tywin enters the throne room to talk to his nephew, it's very much a, like, you are not going to get me for time theft. Never. So, Joffrey's scene with his grandfather, Ginge.
No, that man terrified of his grandfather.
Look, Joffrey is shook. Joffrey's terrified about a lot. When you don't go to the meetings and you just hear shit, and you hear about some dragons across the narrow sea, like, you a little shook.
Yeah,
Tywin ain't worried, though. House cats.
Yeah. Tywin, do you think this might be a case of just Tywin being like an older voter and being like, I'm going to be dead soon anyway, so who cares?
pretty much. But he does care because Tywin makes it known, like, I actually run shit here. You just live here.
That when he walks up to the throne and just looms over him, says,
yep,
I can arrange to have you carried. Wow, what a bit.
Yo, I feel so bad for Tywin. Like, season 3 Tywin, like, nobody has ever been more fed up with their family in, like, the history of fucking human life.
Except maybe Olenna Tyrell.
I think he has her beat.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, she makes it known she, like, hates her family. But she doesn't, like, try to, like, undermine her family. Like, Tywin's at the point now where he's like, I can't even trust y'all to make y'all's own decisions. I'm just running everything here. Like, y'all ain't even got to have a brain anymore. Like, Tywin is so fucking fed up.
Okay, yeah.
He is so fucking fed up.
You're right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Olenna is just annoyed with those people.
Yeah, she's just like, these fuckers are dumb. Like, I married into this dumbass family and they just gonna be dumb forever. Tywin's like, this is not how I raised these fuckers, but damn it, something went wrong.
Do you want to add anything else for Joffrey?
Let's see. Do I have anything else for Joffrey? No. He's very... He just gives in to Tywin, though. Like, everybody else in the family. Because as the king, he could have easily stood up.
And he didn't, and I think that says a lot about who he is and who Tywin is.
Yep. We know who runs shit.
I mean, Tywin's a scary dude.
Incredibly intimidating. Favorite villain. But speaking of things Joffrey should be worried about, Bobby's boy is back in the Blackwater Bay. So,
yeah, he is.
She's brought Gendry to King's Landing. What is the plan?
I still ain't got no idea. I still don't know what's going on with it.
Well, he's found out the truth of his patronage.
Yeah.
And she tells us that there's power in a king's blood.
Yeah.
There ain't enough power for her to just walk him straight up into the keep and be like, hey, this is the actual king.
To be fair, we have seen what the Lord of Light can do.
Also true. Also true.
We have borne witness, yes. So, like, what are we, like, What do you think her ultimate aim is with her, like with him? Like, you really can't.
I don't know this angle that they're gonna that she's going in.
But are you interested to find out? Are you like, I'm really excited to see where this goes, because I have no clue what's happening.
I'm sure this is like one of the first angles where you really like have no idea like what is going on. Because most of the other things in the show so far, you kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, that, I can see that. But here's like, what are you doing?
And I think it stops there because you didn't answer one part of the question, and I agree. Like, you wonder in this scene, you don't know what's coming, but it's hard to be excited about it because it's just like, yeah. Like, this
Okay.
storyline's kind of weird. Like, this until we get further into it, like now, though, like, you're just like,
And
it's just
maybe
here. Like, what's there to be really excited about?
that's what I'm saying. Like, what are they gonna do? Just march him right up into the keep and be like, hey, this is the actual king.
Okay, so maybe excited was a strong word. Perhaps I should have used intrigued to
But
say.
intrigued is a better
That's
word.
my bad. Okay. So are you intrigued? Because you're pretty blind here.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I like that word better.
In Yun Kai, Daenerys has 200,000 reasons to take over, and slaves are all of them. She's really about this manumission abolitionist life.
Yeah. So here's a question I got for you, James. Is she wrong for wanting to do this?
Is she
Like, is she,
pulling a Rob?
yeah, like, is she losing sight of what's there? Like, because this dude was like, ships, here you go. Like, just leave. Take the ships, go. Like, she could have really just been on her way to fucking Westeros now.
Yeah.
Or King's Landing now. Like, she could have been on her way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get what she should do is take these ships, go to King's Landing, take back Westeros, and then come back with a bigger army and freedom slaves.
Because when you think about it, and you're telling these guys, hey, I'm gonna free the slaves, you're gonna do this, this, and this, how many men is she gonna lose in doing
Exactly.
this?
But like, does she have enough men right now to take over Westeros?
I
She
don't know.
has how many
She
Unsullied? 8,000?
8,000?
8,000 men are going to take over Westeros?
I
I mean,
mean,
plus three dragons.
Westeros is in shambles right now.
You're right. And she has three dragons, but they're
But you're gonna be fighting an army that's fighting another army. They're not gonna see you coming.
that's about to fight another army.
And maybe fighting another army.
Like,
Yeah.
wildlings are on the way. They don't even know about
Yeah,
that one.
like
That's what I'm talking about.
everybody's
Like,
headed there anyway. Just fucking join the party. And by the time you get there, the dragons might be a little bigger anyway. Like, and even the size they're at, they can breathe fire. You've seen that.
yeah, and that one is pretty vicious already.
Yeah, Drogon is not with the shits. Like, you know how when dogs see someone, they like immediately don't like them. You know that's a terrible person.
Yes.
Yeah, Dany's dragons are definitely the same way.
Yes.
But thank you for the gold bars. I appreciate it. We were kind of
This
broke.
was a gift. You're not gonna be like a little kid and make it an Indian gift. Isn't that what it's called?
Here.
Can't be an Indian giver.
And I've not heard that in so long.
Has been a
I got
long time since I've heard that
it
phrase.
wrong the first time. I called it an Indian gift. It's Indian giver.
But
Here's
now,
a question for you, because I don't know the answer to this. I wrote it down. Is this the first time we heard Daenerys get introduced with all the fucking titles?
yes.
Yes.
All the titles.
Every
Yeah.
single one of
Like,
them.
my God, how many do you need?
Because she left out the Rhoynar, because she's also the queen of the Rhoynar.
Did she just like make these up all the way?
Like,
Like, she sat there with a pen and paper. She was like, what do I want to be called?
Mother of Dragons, like, really hits at the end, though, because...
And just because you were born during a storm, like, we don't need to call you the Stormborn. Just because it was raining? A little bit of thunder?
It was a terrible storm.
Like, it's okay. It's okay. We don't need to have you call it Stormborn. We get it.
Well, Razdahl's going to get his friends.
Who day?
Tune in next time.
Because, like, I'm like, you know, she's like, I want to know who his powerful friends are. And I'm just sitting there like, us too, because I ain't never heard of these people.
It's so weird watching her storyline from the beginning. Because, you know, everybody in King's Landing and on that side of the sea, we know where they're headed. And we kind of know the people where they're at. On her side, like, we don't know where she's headed. We don't know who she's going to, like, everywhere she's been, like, it's just in and out. Like, she gets there and she goes somewhere else. It's kind of all over the place.
She goes somewhere, causes some destruction, and then leaves.
Yeah.
She's very nomadic, almost like a Dothraki.
But do we even know what direction she's going? Like, is she going east, north, south, west?
Yunkai is technically like north of the Slaver's Bay, so.
So she's headed north, yeah. Really?
Well, not really north. Like, she's just, I think she's just hitting these cities within this, just these slave cities.
Yeah.
Because, like, now, like, it seems like her mission at the moment is not Westeros. Her mission at the moment is civil rights and freedom. Like, she's like, this is very much her mission. Like, oh, there's slaves here. Let's free them. Because look at how she was treated the last time she freed a bunch of slaves.
Yeah.
Just something to think about. Dany the Liberator.
In the scene, though, when they show, like, the overview of the camp, and then the dudes from the city is walking in, the camera pans over two of the Unsullied, and one of them's holding a spear, and right in the camera frame, that spear has no spearhead. It looks like he's holding a mop handle.
Is this the thing you were talking about?
Yes, this is okay. The thing I was talking about. Is in this scene. Like, how you gonna hold a mop handle?
I need to go back and watch all this stuff.
Okay.
Because I never catch it.
But that was, like, right in the middle of the frame, too. Like, how do you miss it?
I am not looking for shit like that.
Right. Thank you for being our eyes, though.
Giving us so much shit we've never seen. And the amount of watch-throughs we've had in this.
Not one. All right, so we're done, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in the Riverlands with the Brotherhood, Arya Stark is definitely one to stand on business.
She is. She doesn't talk to traitors.
Absolutely not.
But yeah, this is... I do like the scene a little bit because it kind of shows you what Arya is all about. Like, we've seen it.
That she about to go down this, like, dark path. That's what I think about that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because they're talking about the Lord of Light, and she's like, no, my God is death.
Yup.
Goth
Arya. What was that sliver of Hawkeye we got in the Avengers when he, like, went rogue? Ronan?
Yeah, Ronan.
Yeah, she's having a Ronan moment.
Yeah, she definitely is.
But the Brotherhood gets word that Lannisters are around. We can go get us some gold and some bodies. Do you want to do it, guys? Let's go. Hooray. But you're supposed to be taking me to River Run.
It's just a detour.
Yo, they didn't told her so much bullshit.
He's
every episode is a detour. Like, goddamn. How many times are y'all gonna change the plan?
She's really just like sick of this. So she runs off.
I would be too. There's no structure.
None.
The leadership here is piss poor. We have piss poor managers here.
Like, really, who is in charge here? Like, who is the person in charge? It's too many cheap.
Yeah, that's everybody's gonna tell her that they're the manager.
And nobody really is inside of what's going on, like. So she manages to get away.
She this is like
a, run off from a bunch
this
of
this is like a company who has like 18 vice presidents.
And she manages to get away. That's why she manages to get away, because nobody's paying attention to anything. Like, there's, like you said, there's no structure.
And can I tell y'all, like, this has got to be the slowest getaway chase that I've ever witnessed in my entire life.
Yeah.
Okay. But to be
this
fair,
is...
it's the dark of night. She's running through the woods. It's a lovely, like, it's a very good callback to season two when she was running away from the Lannisters at the inn. Like, she's hiding, and then just like in season two, guess who the villain is?
Captured.
Ah, gotcha, sis.
By the person she should just stick with anyway.
Which I guess he just been following them around this whole time.
I didn't even think about it, but yes, that has to have been what happened.
Yeah, it had to be.
I mean, that's...
Unless the motherfucker was lost. Like...
But like,
I feel like he just been hanging out in the shadows, watching everything going on.
He's got a plan.
Yeah, that's right, because they did leave him without gold. He needs gold too.
Yep.
What do you think happens to Arya now?
Well, I mean, Rob probably ain't gonna do this, but isn't there like a reward for her return that the Brotherhood was gonna cash in on? Maybe the Hound gonna try to cash in on it too.
Maybe. I got a better question. Does Rob even remember he has sisters at this point? does he even know what he has this reward out? Somebody take him the flyer. He needs to see that shit again.
Yeah, he's lost sight of things.
They were like, oh, we found Arya. Who?
Who did?
Oh, Arya. That's right.
Theon and Theon's precious.
Man.
Ginge.
Yo, this was actual torture for for Theon.
Indeed.
For just a second, it looked like he was like, no, no, no. I know this is a setup. But then
he couldn't stop himself.
He like, listen, he held out for longer than I thought he would.
He did. But then eventually he was like, fuck it.
Yeah, I mean, Theon's Theon. Because
it's my favorite toy anyway.
Yeah, but like, might as well let him play like it. You got to be thinking in that situation. He's like, I'm probably going to die. Let me go ahead and get this threesome out the way here. This could be my last chance.
You know, we've been clowning Theon about having a trash dick, but apparently it's not. Apparently it's well talked about.
Yeah, apparently it's a famous dick.
Yeah.
In season one, we was dogging this motherfucker in
but
season
it,
one.
Is it famous or is it infamous?
Might be infamous.
Yeah. Hot, that's famous. That's fame.
Maybe Theon has like a birthmark on it or something. I don't know.
Well, I don't know how much longer is it really gonna matter, do you think?
Yo, that's too far.
So when he blew the horn, like, what, like, how did you feel when he blew the horn?
Oh, I mean, I figured it was all a setup. Like, it wasn't actually. I was either it was all set up to where, like, they, because they know how he is, so it would actually be torture for him, or he was actually like dreaming it. Like, they weren't actually there; he was dreaming it.
Okay.
But when they blew the horn, I was like, "Yeah,
set up,
set up."
Set up, set up, set ups. There's a lot.
Tell you what, this kid is good.
Which makes that, since it is a setup, those two girls are psychopaths as well.
So. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Stick that with a pointy end.
For sure.
Yeah. But good luck, Theon.
I'd rather die.
Here we are. Here we are. Osha does not fuck with demons or ravens. This magic shit, keep it. So,
which makes you think that she really like experienced something.
Yeah. Like, she told us the story of her and her Bruni.
Oh.
Becoming an ice zombie.
Yeah. Like that.
And you want me to go back up there? No, thank you. I learned less.
No fucking way.
Absolutely the fuck not. And you're not, like, I'm not taking you either. We're going to go to Castle Black, where Jon Snow isn't even.
Which it's honorable that she is holding up her end of the bargain with Luwin, though.
Yeah. I told him I'd get him to Jon Snow, and that's what I'm gonna do. So what do you think of Jojen wanting to go like really pushing this Raven thing?
I don't. He's just following his visions.
And I think that if you follow these visions for so long and then they lead you to the person that you're supposed to get to anyway, like, you might as well fucking go through with it.
Yeah. Like,
this is obviously fate.
Yeah, he's supposed to be there. He was supposed to find Bran, and then he did find Bran, and now it's like, well, I guess I gotta keep going and find the Raven next. Because everything I've seen so far has come true.
Yep.
Right. I saw the ocean come to Winterfell. I saw Father in the Crypt. I've seen it.
Yep. From both ends. They're both seeing everything that's happening, and it's coming true.
Any predictions about this Raven that's getting him to chase him?
That I'm not too sure about yet.
Okay. Sweet. Sweet. Okay, well, you guys, it's time. It's time to ask. Do you pick the bear? Like, Ginge, were you surprised to see that, like, all this bear talk really was going somewhere very literal?
Nope.
All right.
Yeah.
Got him. Nailed it. So a lot of things happened in Harrenhal this week. For one, Jaime has to say goodbye to Brienne, which is a really, really lovely scene between the two of them, considering how they started, with him just being such a dick. And then he makes the pledge to get the girls back to their mother.
Yeah.
Like, she seems pretty resigned to her fate at this point. Like, she knows, like, I'm fucked. But at least the girls should be okay.
And the lie kind of came back to bite him in the ass in the end.
Yeah. Really did, that lie that he used. But We also find out what is in this for Qyburn. He wants his Maester chain back.
Yeah.
She looked like he got a shower compared to last episode. That man's hair was slicked back and cleaned up. He's like, yeah, I'm about to go to King's Landing and I gotta look my best.
But and as Jaime is packing up to leave for King's Landing, Roose Bolton comes to just make sure that Tywin's gonna get the right story. And Jaime sends his regards for missing the Frey wedding.
Yeah. And Roose is headed to that fucking wedding.
And Roose sends his regards to Tywin.
Well.
Regards, regards, regards.
Everybody's so scared of each other.
Most people are scared of Tywin.
Yeah. Just remember to tell him, I didn't cut your hand off. It was not me. I had nothing to do with that.
But later, when Jaime is talking to Qyburn about how Qyburn lost his chain, Qyburn doing experiments. Do you like, do you find Qyburn's theory interesting? Like, his whole thing was like, I'm studying these dead men to save people.
I mean,
which is the truth. But like, because that's how medicine works.
I was going to say, that's what we do.
But he lost his chain for it. So like, it's got to be more than that.
If Qyburn was here in this world we live in, like, we'd be praising him. He'd have like a Pulitzer Prize or some shit.
Well, that depends. Because are you studying, are you doing your theoretical treatments on terminally ill people, or are you just doing it on ill people that have a chance to survive?
Qyburn might not, he might be doing it on well people. Say, fuck it, let's try this out. Let's see if I can attach this foot to their ear and
like,
see if this shit works.
Right, that's what I said, but that's my thing, is like, maybe it's like the actual experiments that he's doing. Like, perhaps he's like towing the line of science and like medicine and like mad science.
Yeah.
Anyways, turns out they're definitely gonna have, like, they're not gonna let Brienne go because her father has offered a ransom, and Locke thinks that they're sapphires, so he's not going to let her go. Oh, fucking no.
And Jamie's story got a bit
mad. Yeah, she came back to bite him in the ass big time.
Yes. Oh, I do want to point out, too, that, like, when he asked Jamie how many men he killed and versus how many lives he saved, and Jamie describes what he did at King's Landing now as saving the population of King's Landing.
Yeah.
Therapy. In therapy, that's called a breakthrough.
He's like, how many did you say? 500,000.
Yeah. And they're fucking welcome. But we have to go back because I have to save one more person. I have to save one more person. I have to save the Maiden Fair.
That makes Jaime the second best Lannister.
So what did you think when you saw the bear?
I mean, it was a bear.
But I mean, like, oh my god, it's full circle. There really is a bear.
Yeah. Like, damn.
You know what I thought about the bear?
Oh, here we go.
Bear is CGI, right? It made me wonder why Brienne was taking a computer game so seriously.
Don't know.
Fitting for the week.
I don't know. Perhaps she was taking this computer game seriously because it was very literally life and death for her.
Maybe so.
Yeah. Like the results of this computer game could kill her, as she had already suffered physical wounds from it.
Correct. This is more than losing $20. I agree.
Ooh wee. Isn't it? Isn't it though?
Nope.
But like Jamie going in, saving her. Like he could just left her ass, man.
But he didn't, because he's good people. There's no men like Jamie Lannister.
There are no men like Jamie Lannister.
Not one on this planet.
And to think about who his father is.
You know, to have Tywin as a father, Jaime and Tyrion have turned out pretty okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like,
what we've seen so
was
far.
An issue, but like, we've gotten to the root of that.
Yeah, like season one, Jaime and Tyrion were not, but since then, like, they've both have grown up.
Yeah, I think
sort of say.
Jamie's
but
especially
Jamie,
like he's kicked down this wall to where he's like he's gonna be himself and not be the person that everybody thinks he is, because that's what he's been living this whole time. Like in season one especially,
yeah,
like he was the Kingslayer. Like that's what people were telling him he was, that he was just living to be the person they wanted him to be, or that they said they were, that he was.
And
so
now,
now he's
yeah, he's changing the narrative.
He said his truth and fuck it. I'm just going to be me. I'm gonna be the person I'm supposed to be.
I am the savior of King's Landing, turns out.
Sitting in your own shit for a year really, really makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You really have time to process when things around you look bleak. And like, there's no end in sight. You have time to process your past. Get your fucking priorities in order. Priorities like getting out of this shithole. But that was season 3, episode 7, The Bear and the Maiden Fair. Turns out, I think we all picked the bear.
You know, I was hoping that after the interaction between Jamie and the other guy, I was hoping he was going to push him into the pit.
Same. So-
having a pour one out segment, we won't. I'm sorry that we're not mentioning Locke in this pour one out segment.
Yeah, like,
but
I
who
was
are
like the whole time? Push him.
Are we mentioning anybody in this pour one out segment?
Oh, well, let's evaluate really closely,
yeah,
so we don't
let's
miss
make
again.
Sure. Let's make sure. Go through my notes really quick.
I mean,
I don't think I have anybody.
Might be able to pour one out for Theon's Precious.
No, we got to call it Theon's favorite toy. He plays games with it.
And I think you might have just lost it. So we'll pour one out for that. The whores of the North are going to mourn for years. All right. Well, that brings us to our quote segment. Let's take it with the pointy end. I have like a million, so y'all can all go first.
All right. I only have two.
I'll lead us off. My first one is from the Blackfish, where he says, "I've seen wet shits better than I've like Walter Frey."
That's one of mine too.
My next one is from Daenerys. She says, "What happens to things that don't bend?"
There it is.
It's a good question. And then my last one is something that I just heard for the first time on this watch through. Can't believe I've never picked this up before. And it is when Jaime tells Roose Bolton, the Lannisters send their regards. I've never picked that up.
Really?
Yes, this is my first time.
All right. All right. Jens, you've only got the one now.
Yep, and it comes from Bronn when he's talking to Tyrion. And he says, You waste time trying to get people to love you, you'll end up the most popular dead man in town.
That's a good one.
It is.
Yo, Bron always got these nice one-liners.
And you're like the biggest fucking Bron hater too, man. And, and every episode he speaks, you have a Bron quote.
It's true.
All right. Well, let me...
Let me ask you a question before you go.
Me?
Yeah. Do you have a Sansa quote?
I do.
I'm logging out. Bye.
I actually do have a Sansa quote.
Are you going to cry when you say it?
Why would I cry?
I don't know. She was crying the whole episode. Well, you was. Might as well cry, too.
She was because she's emotional, because she's 15 and she's hormonal and she has to marry a man she doesn't fucking know. Could you?
But he's a good man.
Yeah, but she don't know him. I do not know this man.
And sure. She also mentioned that he's a dwarf.
Sure, your kids might be born with short legs, but he's a good man.
Savannah. Anyways, oh, okay, since y'all didn't say this one. Catelyn, when she said he's getting a wedding, it was a king he wanted.
I wrote that down. I just didn't say it.
And then Oral, people work together when it suits them. They're loyal when it suits them. They love each other when it suits them. And they kill each other when it suits them. She knows that. You don't, which is why you'll never hold on to her.
Dirty Mackin at his finest.
And then there's Sansa, which, like, this is actually a very important quote because, like, this will come back in season 7. I'm stupid. I'm a stupid little girl with stupid dreams who never learns. Which, okay. Okay. So now we have that's a jumping off point to start negotiations. And then when Marjorie says, so many of us get to experience so little before we're old and gray. Like, yes, and still, welcome to being a woman in a patriarchal society. Love it here. It's great. And then finally, what if I fell from that tower for a reason? What if I fell from that tower for a reason?
Fell.
Yeah, that's for you, Brand's biggest hater. All right.
Yo, I would want to know who this person is if their name was Sansa's biggest hater, but since it's not, I don't. So thanks for the review though. And I love the name because I feel you.
I feel
I
like
just don't hate Bronn.
That's as much as I do Sansa. That's a pretty common thing. I've seen, like, over the years where everybody talk about how they really hate Bran's like story arc.
Me, I'm one of them. I'm curious to know where you're gonna be in that ballpark when it's all said and done, but you know, we'll get there in 2 years or so.
Anyway, Ginge, blind rankings.
I give it a 7.
All right. 307 at number 7.
We didn't have number 7?
Nope.
Okay.
Which means all that's left is 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Yep. So I hope these last episodes are good.
Which one did he rank at like 6 that I said should have been higher?
Nah, the one Walk of Punishment has did a 6. But I think it was highest 4. Is 4 should have been.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, because his highest right now is.
Episode 2, rather.
Okay.
I think it was episode 2 that should have been higher, or episode 4. One of those two should have been higher. And then I think I should have switched number 5, or episode 5 and episode 6, I think.
Well, we can't
something
do
like that.
We can't do the seeing rankings right now.
I know. I'm just saying, like, my rankings
garbage. He's living in hindsight.
Yeah.
That is for the recap. You have to wait.
No, I just hope. All right, James, do me a favor, though. I need you to be open-minded for the last 3 when you rank them. Don't rank 8 number 3, 9 number 2, and then 10 number 1. Like, be open-minded.
Nah,
if you think number 8 is great, put it number 1. If you think episode 8 is great, put it number 1. Don't live in regret after the fact. Just got to be honest with yourself, man. Just got to be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Don't go chalk.
Well, that is going to do it for this episode of Charge It to the Game, a Game of Thrones Rewatch podcast. Please remember to rate and review, and you can follow me at Lauren Lovegood, G-O-O-D-E, on everything. So on behalf of Jim G, who I'm not sure whether I want him to have a good week in regular football or not, we're playing for a draft pick at this point, and TJ, I am Lauren Lovegood, and we will see you next time. And now our watch is ended.